Welcome back for the second hour of Issues Etc. For the first few minutes, we'll continue and conclude our conversation with Mike Pierce, author of the book Why the Rest Hates the West, discussing the hostility toward Western civilization and culture. Then we'll be joined by Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. He'll give us a live update on this week's Republican National Convention in New York. We'll start out talking about, of course, the top of the story is, at this point so far, before any speakers have really weighed in officially, the protesters. They've been around in New York in number for some time. We'll get his take on that in just a few minutes. Then we'll be talking about the preaching of Juanita Bynum. We'll let her put it in her own words. She's got Weapons of Power tour that came through St. Louis recently. She's a popular television preacher. We'll be evaluating her most recent message from, I think it was Sunday, her most recent message from her Weapons of Power program in the third hour of Issues Etc., which is also open lines for your questions and your comments. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Mike, a few more questions before we wrap up our conversation. Bill had a question from Los Alamos before the break about differing views on the importance of tradition. Your response.
Yeah. He was referring there to some of the more esoteric philosophers. I've no doubt that some of those guys have certainly affected the way certain individuals within Western society think, maybe including him. But my book is more interested in looking really at why broad millions of people think the way that they do, the ideas that have shaped what we consider to be common sense, and whether those moves are good, bad, or indifferent. So the kind of thing that he's looking at there, I think, is really something that's simply affecting more a minority, though it may, in all fairness, have contributed to perhaps some of the more romanticized understandings of the past. There's a tendency in Western societies where we do take the past seriously at all, to take a rather romantic sort of look at it, and I suspect that some of those philosophers will have affected that kind of approach.
At this point, is Western civilization, taken as a whole, is it misunderstanding its place in the world vis-a-vis the views of others toward us? Are we fundamentally miscalculating about why, the answer to that question, why there is so much hostility toward us?
Well, there's one question to which I can give a very straightforward answer, and it's just yes, quite simply yes. It's completely misunderstood itself, and it has misunderstood the cultures around it, so badly so that because we have moved away from traditional morality, traditional family structures, we're now in a situation where we're not actually reproducing ourselves. Western populations are falling in every single country, with the partial exception of the U.S., and that partial exception is largely down to the more religious elements in society. And the reason for that is extremely simple. In very promiscuous societies, women who have anything at all to lose don't generally want to have babies unless and until they can tie some man down to some kind of commitment. And most men, indeed most women, are not very committed. And in a society with a very strong feminist ideology, most men are even more reluctant than they always have been to be tied down. And so we're leaving these things later and later. We're having fewer and fewer children, particularly the most secularized elements within society. We're dying out and are having to be replaced by immigrants who take a very different view of the world, that is, who are more traditional. So whichever way secularists want to play this, the world as they see it is not only not going to come into being, they're not even going to keep the patch they have.
Finally, does that also explain, and the other things that you've made clear in this conversation, does it explain why it seems, at least in America, that this animosity of the world has crept up on us? Oh, we thought we were greatly loved, and all of a sudden we find out everybody hates us.
Maybe it has kind of crept up on us. I think that the Cold War did a lot to mask this from us, because under the conditions of the Cold War, it was Western democracies facing a monstrous tyranny in communism, and the traditional cultures of the world were more or less forced to take a back seat behind one or other of the great superpowers and try playing them off against one another. But with that out of the way, then we're back to politics as normal. And that, of course, is what Huntington's book was all about in the 1990s and continues to resonate today.
One more phone call here. Herman is calling from Illinois. Herman, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you for taking my call. I think you have a very insightful presentation of the difference between outlook, certainly in the contemporary West and these other cultures. However, it seems that in the West today, the people who are the intelligentsia are often advocating such a deconstruction of even what traditions are left in the West, and they often do it in the name of multiculturalism to say, well, all cultures are equal, homosexual lifestyle is equal, all religions are equal, and you get kind of an odd synthesis going on.
Herman, thank you very much. Mike?
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. You know, I'm really sorry because obviously this interview is drawing to a close and I am not going to be in a position to give a full answer to that. But let me assure your caller that there's a deconstruction completely of what I consider to be a completely bogus multiculturalism in the book, which I'm sure he will enjoy. I want to argue that most of what passes itself off as multiculturalism is quite the antithesis, actually. It is anti-culturalism. It is the opposition to all real cultures. And people who think that way, if think is the operative verb, have certainly seized most of the organs of Western societies, the education system, most of the media, certainly Hollywood. And there's a very considerable challenge facing those of us who want to see a massive cultural reversal in the West, which is absolutely essential, not only to preserve whatever is worth preserving in the West, but actually to avoid deepening global conflict, which we're wading further and further into.
Mike Pierce, it has been a pleasure talking to you. Enjoyed the book, and thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you very much indeed. God bless you.
Mike Pierce is an historian, a lecturer in church history in Britain and the Balkans. He's author of the new book, Why the Rest Hates the West.
It is a great honor and high privilege to nominate George W. Bush, a strong and compassionate leader, for the office of President of the United States of America.
That was a delegate from Ohio earlier today placing George W. Bush's name in nomination at the Republican National Convention in New York. For the next few minutes of the program, Congressman John Shimkus joins us. He is Congressman of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. He's going to give us a live update on this week's Republican National Convention in New York. Congressman Shimkus, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, what everybody's talking about are the protests surrounding the convention there in the New York area. Tell us your assessment.
Well, I flew in yesterday. My wife and I came in, really, I guess when it was traveling in, when it was going on, made it to church and Sunday school and getting the boys dropped off. We haven't really seen it. So, that was a pretty good crowd. Later on in the evening, there were a few of the protesters, kind of walking up and down the sidewalks. But New York City is a huge, you forget how big New York City is until you come here. And, even a lot of the regular citizens here, it's just another day in the city for them.
Now, what duties, if any, do you have, or are you simply an observer at the Republican National Convention?
Yeah, I'm really kind of like an observer, I guess. There are official party positions that get on the ballot called delegates. I chose not to be a delegate to allow, other people who work hard in the party who want to get a chance to experience a convention to do that. I was asked by the speaker to be available to help, disseminate information from the Bush campaign to other members of Congress, although I haven't been given any instructions yet, so I'm not sure what I'll do. There are many different venues and events going on. I attended a venue for what's called the National Republican Congressional Committee, and so that's kind of the campaign arm that helps reelect Republicans. Today I went to a Veterans for Bush rally on the USS Intrepid, a beautiful museum aircraft carrier with great planes on it and stuff. What a great venue for that, and I was really honored to participate in that, not as any major spokesperson, but just as really a person in the crowd.
Now, tell us what the convention is actually for. I mean, I know technically the party gets together and nominates its candidate for president, but nowadays that seems a foregone conclusion, especially with instant communication.
Well, not just instant communication. I think the primary system and the front loading of it earlier and earlier in the year really causes there to be decision and some finality to who's going to be the nominee, which in reality, does question the need for national conventions, not just the Republican National Convention, but the Democratic National Convention. And I think you see the major media, the networks themselves, you know, accepting that premise by really not covering from gavel to gavel, but just those periods of time when they think major speeches are being given by, you know, major people, McCain, Giuliani, Schwarzenegger tomorrow night, and of course acceptance speeches and stuff. There's a very credible debate that they're probably unneeded, except for that this is an opportunity for us to get together, get motivated, encouraged, get ready to get back to the all the different areas of the country and work hard for our nominee. And it's a time to use whatever attempt we can with the media present to tell our story of why we think for this nation the best choice for president would be George Bush.
So, I mean, to not denigrate it, it's a campaign commercial.
It is. Well, it's almost an infomercial, really, that you see for any other thing. I totally accept that analysis.
What about the party platform? At some point, the party platform is written and accepted by the delegates there, but what weight does any party platform really carry nowadays?
Well, I wish it carried a lot more. I know that I talked to one of the members of the platform committee last night from Illinois, and I think there's always an attempt to water it down, especially as people like to see, you know, there's people in the Republican Party like to see us be a little more moderate, and there's people in the Democratic Party like to see them become a little more conservative. The platform is a place to really identify and state your what you support. You know, the pro-life plank of the Republican platform is very, very important. It's why I'm a Republican, one of the main reasons why I'm a Republican, strong on defense. I think I would like to see a strong platform of stated beliefs that then you do talk about. It's very difficult for some members of our party to accept for my moderate friends in the Republican Party to accept a more conservative platform.
There was a story in yesterday's St. Louis Post-Dispatch titled Centrists in the Spotlight. Is the GOP going to do the same thing that it seemed the Democrats did at their convention, and that is portray themselves as standing more in the middle than on one side or the other of the political spectrum?
Well, you can make that case based upon the speakers, I think. But I think these folks will all come with great conviction. I always have a problem. I talked to some reporters today. I'm a proud conservative. Conservative, it doesn't mean that you're mean-spirited or hateful and spiteful. In fact, I would argue that the conservative ideology is a better way to distribute goods and services and really lift people up and not hold them down. So it's a very positive message. But it, you know, it's a message that sometimes says, you know, you gotta strive to try to help, you know, move yourself up the ladder too. Some people don't like hearing that. And to answer your question, we'll have to wait to see in how these, the people who have a chance to speak, but are the hardcore conservatives of the Republican Party are not getting the opportunity to speak. Now, I don't know how you define hardcore, but so the answer is, I think, yeah, I think there's an attempt to show the moderate side of the party out here.
We're talking about this week's Republican National Convention in New York, getting a live update with Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District in Illinois. He joins us from New York. In about 15 minutes, we're going to take your phone calls on the Republican National Convention. Are you going to watch it? What are your expectations of this GOP convention? Will this convention make any difference at all? Is it just entirely irrelevant to how you will vote, what you will decide to do at the polls? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I was curious, Congressman, about the choice of Zell Miller, a Democratic legislator, being one of the keynote speakers there.
Yeah, it's very exciting, Zell Miller, and I've met him, but I you know, honestly can't say I don't know him very well. He definitely would know me if I walked up to him. But he spoke, I think it was at the 92 Democratic Convention, invited, so he spoke there as a Democrat. Zell Miller, his basic line is, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. They've moved too far left. He's in essence a social conservative, and I think it speaks of how conservatives can be the compassionate ones. He believes in tax relief. He believes in empowering the individuals. He believes in individual freedoms and liberties, and again, going all the way into the unborn child, and a strong support of the Second Amendment. So we're glad to welcome him here in New York City.
Many pro-life members of the Republican Party and outside the Republican Party are disappointed with pro-choice speakers that are going to be featured on the dais, like Rudy Giuliani, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger of California, Governor George Pataki of New York. What do you say to them?
Well, I would just say to them, get involved with the party and help us build a stronger pro-life, you know, majority in the party. But, you know, our ability to run a conservative a legislative body really depends upon some of our more moderate leaders in states that are not, you know, pro-life in themselves. The New England coast and the West Coast, the pro-life position is not the majority position. So it's the grassroots working and praying and changing the hearts and minds that will do that. These guys are elected leaders, or have been elected leaders in major states and cities of millions of people. You cannot deny them, especially as they have chosen a party that best represents their goals and needs and aspirations, and that's the Republican Party.
What do you make of the celebrity appeal of these conventions? NFL Hall of Famer Lynn Swann, Olympic gold medalist Dorothy Hamill will be speaking on the very day that the president will accept the nomination.
We love when named people, you know, come out on both sides and say, I support this team and this is why. It's important because they touch a different segment of the society and the population that maybe we have access to, and if they are conservatives and identify themselves with the Republican Party, we're glad to have them on board.
I wanted to ask if you know, we were talking about pro-life speakers. I know that Senator Santorum is slated to speak. Is he going to be given a primetime position, a prominent position, when he speaks at the Republican National Convention in New York?
I don't know. I didn't see him listed as a primetime speaker, so the answer is probably no. Rick's a good friend of mine. He's in essence kind of like the senatorial conference chair, and he's been involved with he may have been doing some introduction of the Senate candidates this morning. But no, he will not. I know that a lot of us conservatives wrote a letter before we left Washington encouraging the campaign, the Bush campaign, to consider allowing Henry Hyde to speak. Of course, I'm a little biased because he's from Illinois, but he's a strong voice for the pro-life position and the conservative causes that we fight for. And he is a gentle spirit, and you know, would not threaten anybody. We thought that we at least needed a voice, but that's not to happen.
Two final quick questions, John. We started talking about the protests. They are undoubtedly large. I mean, the numbers we're talking about, you know, near 500,000, they say, have come in to New York for protests and other purposes. In the end, when Thursday's all said and done, will those protests that are going to be featured in the popular press, will they work for or against George W. Bush as he continues from the convention and takes up his candidacy for president?
That's a good question. I don't know. I really don't mind protest. I think, you know, that's part of America, freedom of speech. We need to hear the divergent voices. But when you get to see them, and you can tell there are an anarchist in there, and they are just, you know, folks that they don't, you know, they just want to disrupt anything. And they're not for democracy. They're not for the capitalist system. And again, anarchists are the best word. Then I think that hurts them. But if it's people just really with dissenting views on how public policy should be enacted, I never have problems with people who want to exercise their First Amendment rights.
Finally, your thoughts on Alan Keyes. He has entered the race for U.S. Senate in Illinois, resident of Maryland, came in to take the place of Jack Ryan, who had to drop out.
Yeah, I saw Alan again last night. I've met him now about four times since he was picked by the State Central Committee in Springfield. He was at the state capitol at the state fair, really the fairgrounds. He then came down south and was in Greenville, Illinois. And then I saw him last night, and he's going to be down in Marion, Illinois at what we call the World Trot Dinner, sometime in the next couple weeks. Alan's working hard. He has his own organization, so he's not relying on the traditional rank and file Republicans to help him. I think if he would reach out to us, we'd be more than, ready to welcome him and be helpful. I don't think he has a tough time understanding that a lot of us are happy to have him, you know, and to push the debate on the basic issues. This thing should not be a beauty pageant. We're electing a U.S. senator, so let's get down to talking about issues. And debates between Senator Obama and Alan Keyes would be a wonderful, exciting, enjoyable thing to watch.
Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th Congressional District, thank you again for being our guest, and have a good time in New York.
I'll try to. Take care.
We've been talking about this week's Republican National Convention in New York. When we come back from this break, we're going to take your questions and your comments on the Republican National Convention. Is it entirely irrelevant to the way you're going to vote, the way you're going to decide issues when you step into the voting booth in November? Are you going to be watching any of it? What are you going to be watching for? More importantly, perhaps, what are you going to be listening for? What do you expect the speakers to say leading up to the president's acceptance of the nomination? What do you expect the president to say when he accepts that nomination? We'll be right back to take your questions and comments on the Republican National Convention.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Scripture is filled, Old and New Testament, with prayers. What can we today learn about Christian prayer from the prayers of Holy Scripture? How did faithful men and women of the Old Testament pray when God seemed silent, when God seemed to have turned his back on them? You'll find answers to these questions in our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August, Is God Listening? By regular guest Dr. Andrew Steinman. You can find information on Is God Listening? By going to our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section. You'll find information on the book there. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order the book, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is God Listening by Dr. Andrew Steinman, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. Rarely reported in the mainstream media's coverage of the war in Iraq is the level of involvement of women in combat roles. It's likely that most Americans would be surprised to learn 24 women of the U.S. military have died in Iraq, 15 from hostile fire. Terry Phillips has more.
After the early action that involved Private Jessica Lynch and resulted in death to two women soldiers in the same unit, there hasn't been much attention paid female fatalities close to combat.
I think that there should be more public awareness.
Elaine Donnelly is president of Center for Military Readiness and a critic of putting women in combat roles.
If the public really knew just how the situation is now, I think they would be alarmed. I think they would express major concern about it. But we haven't heard.
The situation now is that women serve where there can be risk of capture. The reason the sexual assault component of capture is not discussed is likely political correctness. Kathy Adams, president of Texas Eagle Forum, also tracks issues relating to women in the military.
There is a move afoot to desensitize the American people to the differences of men and women. And always that's going to end up making women more masculine and making men more feminine. That is not the way that you prepare for war.
And says Adams, another factor that bears on military effectiveness is also being underreported.
The Central Command of the United States Military Forces are not counting the number of pregnancies and reporting them.
Some might give a morality waiver in those situations, saying that's war, but it'll be a tough sell to spouses waiting at home. For Family News and Focus, I'm Terry Phillips.
The risk of capture aspect could become an issue at any time. There are reports the insurgents are intent on capturing a U.S. woman in uniform. Motive is said to be revenge for Abu Ghraib. For Family News and Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Hope Lutheran Church and School in St. Louis is an underwriter of Issues Etc. Hope Lutheran is located at 5218 Neosho in St. Louis. Randy Asbury and Stephen Rosebrock are the pastors. Their phone number, 314-352-0014, 352-0014. Hope Lutheran Church and School in St. Louis, www.hopelutheranstl.org. www.hopelutheranstl.org.
Does God communicate to us in prayer? Find out with our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. It's titled, Is God Listening? By Dr. Andrew Steinman. For more information, check out our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The cost is $9.99 plus shipping and handling. Is God Listening? An in-depth study on prayer. 1-800-325-3040.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. For the next 25 minutes, well, actually, we've got open lines for the remainder of the program, the next 90 minutes, but the last hour is going to be taken up with listening to and responding to Juanita Bynum's message from this weekend. She has the Weapons of Power program. She came through St. Louis recently in a Weapons of Power tour. You may have seen the billboards out on the major highways. Now, we're going to hear her message on the Lord's Prayer. It's a series on the Lord's Prayer, but she's going to be talking about the phrase, Thy will be done. Now, if you've never heard or seen Juanita Bynum, it is an experience in and of itself, regardless of the theology that she puts forth. But we will be analyzing her message to see if it bears any resemblance whatsoever to the message of the cross, to that which Paul determined he would preach and preach exclusively, Christ and Him crucified. Her message, by the way, just a little heads up for that last hour, her message is an excellent example of the radical experientialism in modern day preaching, the radical individualism of the modern preacher's message, the focus upon emotions. It's a good example of the feminization of Christianity. It's a good example of that. But it's also a good example of the message being turned from Christ for you. That is, Christ, your Savior, for you, to Christ in you. Jesus just becomes your power source. And then the focus all lies upon you. It's open lines for your phone calls. It starts now, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Before we get to Juanita Bynum, I'd like your reaction to our conversation with Congressman John Shimkus and to this week's big event in New York, the Republican National Convention. Is it irrelevant? Is it important? Does the party platform matter? What do you expect the speakers to say? If you look in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch today, you will find not only their images, but also their names and the theme of their primetime message. Tonight, it begins with a speech, the theme being A Nation of Courage. The speakers are going to be Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina and, Senator John McCain. We'll call him the keynote speaker. And then, of course, former New York Mayor Rudolph Giuliani will be on tonight. What do you expect to hear from them? With the exception of Lindsey Graham, I don't know, hard to say there, does it seem to you that the picture being put forth of the Republican Party is not that different from the picture that was put forth by the Democratic Party when they had their convention? Here we are, standing resolutely in the middle between the issues. And we're talking about pro-choice message here, at least on the part of Rudolph Giuliani. Then the next night, the theme will be People of Compassion. Now, this is, of course, picking up on the president's original message when he was running for the first time, compassionate conservatism. We'll have Senator Elizabeth Dole of North Carolina, George P. Bush. We'll also have Senator Sam Brownback of Kansas. I didn't even know he was on the list. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist of Tennessee and California Governor. He's the draw, I think, that night on Tuesday. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. Laura Bush will also address the convention delegates there. Do you plan to be watching any of this? If so, what are your expectations? What do you expect to see and what do you expect to hear from the GOP convention in New York? Will the GOP convention make any difference in this election for how you vote or how the rest of your fellow voters are going to vote, in your opinion? 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Let's start with Dee calling from her car. Dee, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. The Republican convention will make absolutely no difference in the way I vote. I left the Republican Party 4 years ago for the Constitution Party.
Yes.
Because we're a Christian party. We have Jesus Christ in our preamble as our Lord and Savior. And we are very pro-life, very limited government. So there's nothing that the Republicans can say or do unless they completely recant their position on abortion and other issues. Would I ever go back to them? But I really believe that the Constitution Party is a viable option because I am going to be voting my conscience and therefore not throwing away my vote because it is the coinage of my conscience. And we are on 42 ballots in the United States, so I think we can draw enough votes away, at least I hope, from the Republican Party to make us force to be reckoned with in the next 4 years.
Oh, two questions before I let you go here.
Sure.
If you want to draw votes away from George W. Bush, does it concern you that that might mean the election of John Kerry?
No, it does not, because I view the Democratic Party and the Republican Party as just a two-headed party. I see no difference in either candidate.
Even on the life issue?
Even on the life issue, I do. George W. Says one thing, and I think he does another. He keeps funding Planned Parenthood, $150 million a year, and has done other things that lead me to believe that he is not as pro-life as his rhetoric would say.
Dee, one more question before I let you go.
Sure.
Does the Constitutional Party plan on, quote-unquote, Christianizing America? If so, how so? You did mention that the Constitution Party is a Christian party.
That is correct. No, we're not going to, quote, Christianize. What we want to do is get the country back to the vision of the Founding Fathers and realize that the country was based on Judeo-Christian principles and that we have drawn our law, actually, from the Bible. And so that we have freedom for everybody to come here and practice the religion that they want to, but that tolerance is only found in Christian leadership, I believe.
Dee, thank you so much for the call. So Dee says it's not going to make any difference for her because she doesn't plan on voting for the GOP or for the Democrats, for that matter. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I am particularly interested in what you expect from the Republican National Convention. Now, you might call in and say, I expect nothing because it's irrelevant and I'm not even going to watch it. Are you going to be watching it? Are you disappointed with pro-choice speakers like George Pataki or Arnold Schwarzenegger or Rudy Giuliani? They're not just being given a place there. And I, the last time I didn't they just reaffirm their platform this last week, the Republican Party, to be strongly pro-life? They're not just being given a place. They're being given places of prominence. And in terms of this thing being a big campaign commercial, they're being given the face time that will probably be seen by most people. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Darlene is up next, calling from her car. Hi, Darlene.
Hi. How are you doing, Pastor?
Doing just fine, Darlene.
Thank you. Okay. I'm going to be just completely open and honest here. I'm voting for Bush for numerous reasons. One, he's the closest to 100% pro-life that any of the candidates represent. There are other issues. I'm not a one-issue so-called voter. But being pro-life is going to be what flips the coin if I'm not into politics, so it's hard for me to explain my thoughts and feelings.
No, you're doing fine, Darlene.
The war in Iraq, our young men and women over there, their protection, getting everything they need, whatever it is, from the smallest to the biggest, is another issue for me. These things on the economy and homosexuality is an important issue, but it doesn't weigh for me as heavy as the pro-life and the war in Iraq, although it does influence me a great deal too. So because of all of these issues, I will vote for Bush because I think he represents more closely, although not perfectly, and there's many things he's done and decided I vehemently disagree with. He's got my vote.
All right, Darlene, are you going to watch the convention this week? You can make a point of watching it?
If I had cable, I would. Since the local networks aren't going to carry it, I won't be able to see it.
All right, Darlene, thank you very much. Here's another question for you guys. Will you be disappointed in President George W. Bush if he fails to mention abortion or, for that matter, homosexuality in his acceptance speech? These are two distinguishing features that distinguish him, well, on the homosexuality, maybe not, distinguish him from his rival. George W. Bush has come out in favor of a federal marriage amendment. Okay, that's the difference between him and John Kerry. They're obviously different, at least on paper, on the issue of abortion, human cloning, stem cell research, all of those life issues. Will you be disappointed if he fails to mention those things? If he talks about courage and compassion and the war on terrorism and staying the course and all of the other things that we would expect to hear from him when he accepts the nomination, if he doesn't mention those two things, abortion and homosexuality, gay marriage, will you be disappointed? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Now, on Wednesday night, we're getting closer and closer to the big moment, the theme will be a land of opportunity. So we've got these themes: a nation of courage, a people of compassion, a land of opportunity. Now, you can see here we've got defense, we've got social issues on Tuesday night, and then we have economic issues on Wednesday night. That's how I'm reading it. The speaker's Michael Reagan, Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. I wonder why they're putting him there. I would expect to have him under the people of compassion theme, because he's the guy who's been at least trying to hold some line against gay marriage in Massachusetts. But they're putting him on the night when the economy will be the featured thing. Well, maybe there's a reason. Maybe it has to do with the fact that he's the governor of President George W. Bush's opponent's home state. And then Senator Zell Miller, who is a Democrat from Georgia, he's going to be, they're calling him Wednesday night's keynote speaker. And they have his name here in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch in the bold, so I'm assuming that means keynote speaker there. Zell Miller. Have you ever heard Zell Miller talk? When we were talking earlier with Congressman John Shimkus, he said, you know, the thing that you'll hear from Zell Miller on a regular basis is the Democratic Party left him. He didn't leave the Democratic Party. He is still a Democrat, but for all the world, he sounds like probably a very right-of-center Republican, especially on the social and moral issues. So here we are the night before the president speaks, probably the night, I don't know, I'm going to be watching King of Queens, even in reruns. I don't know, but I might switch away from my favorite show to see Zell Miller. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. On some of those other nights, I mean, what do you got? You got Big Brother 5, you've got The Great Race, all those shows that people are just glued to. Will you unglue yourself for a moment to see what the Republicans are saying in New York? 505-7850. And you don't need cable for those, folks. You can just watch the networks and see that. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Wednesday night also, Vice President Dick Cheney will address. Now, this is it's obvious that they would put him there because, of course, he is going to be the build-up to the president's address on Thursday night. But given the reason he's been in the news recently and less recently, you could just as well have put him on the first night talking about defense, or the second night talking about social moral issues, because he's recently, as we talked about in the first hour of the program, made some comments about gay marriage, and he's not opposed to gay marriage as long as the states are willing to stomach it. He's not opposed to it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Lori's calling from her car. Hi, Lori.
Hi. I don't know if this connection's real good, but I did want to let people know that it is going to be on Channel 9 from, I believe, starting at 7 o'clock all four nights. So if they want to watch it, which I will be doing, it's on Channel 9.
All right. So you're talking about the PBS station, their public broadcasting?
Yeah, public broadcasting is going to start at 7 o'clock, and I believe, all four nights.
And you said you're planning on watching it?
Definitely.
What are your expectations, Lori?
Well, I'm kind of disappointed that, I'm very disappointed that there are no real pro-life speakers in the prime time. But I do understand why that's happening, you know, because they're trying to pull in independents. That's the long and the short of it. And yes, I will be very disappointed if President Bush does not mention anything about his pro-life stand.
Thank you very much, Lori. You know, when the Democrats presented a middle-of-the-road picture during their convention, you would have thought that they, you know, they were walking around in drag from the way talk radio talked about it. They're not portraying who they really are. They have to lie about who they really are. They have to soften their message in order for their candidate to get acceptance from the American electorate. Well, look, no one is arguing. I haven't heard anybody argue that the Republican Party isn't doing exactly the same thing, presenting a more middle-of-the-road picture than perhaps their base would indicate, the president's base would indicate, or the party would indicate. Will we hear conservative talk radio say they have to lie about who they really are, they can't present a real picture of? No, you won't hear that. What you're going to hear is some of these things are necessary in the political season in order to draw in the mushy middle. Now, if you're going to blame the Democrats for misrepresenting who they are, then it doesn't seem, unless your brain is literally disconnected in the middle and you can think two opposite thoughts without any sense of contradiction, it would seem to be inconsistent, one might even say hypocritical, to commend the Republicans for doing as wise political maneuvering. Or maybe they'll just ignore the fact that many social conservatives on the issue of life and the gay marriage issue are going to be absent from primetime. Well, let's just listen to, you know, let's listen to Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's not hard to look at. He might have a few good things to say. The fact that he's pro-choice, well, you know, come on. You got to do this in a presidential election. After all, this election's going to be won or lost on that 7% that stands between the right and the left. So if that's crucial, this is what we've got to do. Does that stand with you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Andy's calling from Kirkwood. Hi, Andy.
Yeah, I'm one of the 7%. Found an interesting item this afternoon. Republicans boast that 3% of the delegates to their convention are active duty military personnel. That's 144 individuals. The Uniform Code of Military Justice says, on the other hand, a member on active duty shall not participate in partisan political management campaigns or conventions unless attending as a spectator when not in uniform. Just thought that was kind of curious.
Now, Andy?
Yeah.
Where did you find that?
This was on MSNBC in the opinion section.
All right, Andy, thank you very much. We'll have to check that out. That's interesting. That's interesting. I don't know how you'd be active. Well, I guess you could. You could get a leave of absence from your duties and go to New York for a week and vote. That was my understanding of the code of conduct as well. But we'll have to check out to see whether or not that's really true. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Then Thursday night. Thursday night's the big night. The theme is A Safer World, A More Hopeful America, kind of drawing all of the themes of the previous week or the previous days into one. President George W. Bush will, of course, be the keynote speaker as he accepts the nomination. He won't show up until then. I do not think he will officially even walk into the convention center until then. The speaker's Lynn Swann. He's an NFL Hall of Famer. This is celebrity night, by the way. Don't want anybody looking more presidential than the president on this night. Lynn Swann, NFL Hall of Famer, Dorothy Hamill, Olympic gold medalist, and New York Governor George Pataki. Well, he's hosting the darn thing, and he'll be there. I wonder how much contrast you expect to see between George Pataki, pro-choice Republican, and President George W. Bush, pro-life Republican, in what they have to say on Thursday night. You're listening to Issues Etc. on this Monday, August the 30th, about 15 minutes from now. We're going to review Juanita Bynum's teaching on the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. If you don't know what that is, it's the words, Thy will be done. We'll be hearing, that's in the third hour of the program. We'll be hearing her message, as much of it as we can get through, and we'll be analyzing to see if it bears any resemblance to the message of the cross. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin. Give me a call here in the next 10, well, we don't even have 10 minutes, the next few minutes, in answer to the question, are you going to be watching the GOP convention? Do you consider it relevant to the way you're going to vote? What do you expect to hear from those who address the nation on behalf of the Republican Party during this week's festivities? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. What are you expecting the president to say in his acceptance speech? This is a big speech. There's no two ways about it. Acceptance speeches get remembered if you win the election. It's probably almost as big as any State of the Union speech he might give. I can guarantee you he's been working on it for a long time. Now, since about the turn of the last century, I mean, we're talking about 100 years ago, since about 100 years ago, the orchestration, that was the advent of the modern political campaign. And the orchestration of the party conventions was taken out of the hand of the party, per se, and given to the candidate. The candidate, who was usually well-known before the convention, and not a big mystery before the convention, was given a lot more say in how the convention was run as a grand event for the media. In the early days, it would have been the newspapers. Nowadays, it's the internet and it's television and it's satellite and it's everything else. So it's fair to say, as we would have from the Democratic National Convention, that it went as their candidate, John Kerry, wanted it to go. Nothing was said. His campaign vetted every single message, every single speech. People stayed on script. His campaign made sure they did. It was designed to reflect his views. So what you saw, perhaps without, you know, notwithstanding some sort of major problem, what you saw in the Democratic National Convention was what John Kerry wanted you to see. And in all fairness, we need to say the same thing about the Republican National Convention this week in New York. What you will see, for, you know, notwithstanding someone getting up and running across the stage with no clothes on or something, will be what the Bush campaign wants you to see. They are putting the face forward that they want you and the rest of the voters to see. So your expectations, now they've taken those things into account, but they can't make everyone happy. You try to make everyone happy, you end up making no one happy. That's why I ask about these expectations. Now, our last guest, Congressman John Shimkus, called the conventions infomercials. Not just commercials, which are intended to give you an impression and a very simple message, but, you know, the infomercial is intended to tell you all about the product. Not just what you want need to know, but stuff you didn't even want to know. It can not only cut tomatoes, it can cut a tin can, for heaven's sakes. It won't only cook your burger in 3 minutes, it'll also do pork chops. So they're trying to tell you everything you want to know and things you don't even want to know about their candidate and about their party. What you expect to hear is important. Now, you plan to step into, maybe these infomercials are irrelevant. Maybe they are. But you plan to vote, you plan to step into the voting booth and cast a ballot one way or the other. You should know, at the very least, what it is they are all about. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to tell you what they're all about this week. You've seen the man on the street interviews. Sean Hannity does them. Jay Leno does them. People who don't even know who the president is. They don't know who the Democratic candidate is. And you laugh. Ha, ha, ha. Well, you know, there's ignorance by degrees. And there's willful ignorance. Someone who can get through life without knowing who the president is has become practiced in willful ignorance. Someone who says, look, I'm just not going to pay attention because I don't want to know. Well, there's another degree of willful ignorance. If the candidate is saying, this is who I am, and I want you to know everything about me, now it's not going to, maybe it's the truth, maybe it isn't, but this is his message that he's coordinated, you might want to listen to it. I will be, for one, disappointed if the GOP candidate for president, George W. Bush, fails to mention abortion in his acceptance speech. It really doesn't make any difference. You know, if we come to Thursday night and no one has said peep one about abortion, but the president says, I will defend the unborn with every power given me by the electorate. And I will see, and he names specific legislation that he plans on seeing introduced, supporting, and signing that will further the legislative agenda of the pro-life cause. It won't make any difference whether when Thursday comes, it won't make any difference whether George Pataki and Arnold Schwarzenegger and the others got up there and were pro-choice but didn't say anything. Then the candidate will have said, this is what I plan to do there. If he doesn't mention that, then even the silence of the pro-choicers on the dais will speak louder than the president's silence, I think. On the issue of homosexuality, the president has been bold to say that he is going to stand for a constitutional amendment. I think he should say so Thursday night as well and explain to the American people why he is doing that. Otherwise, silence might mean assent. We'll be right back to listen to Juanita Bynum.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.